Good afternoon. Today is Friday, May the 23rd, 148th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, and I hope I'm not boring everybody listening to death, Desmond Cowan, the Arcata Fire Chief. Hey, guy.
How are you?
Well, not as casual as you, man. Well, you come in from the beach or what?
Multiple costume changes today.
Oh, sorry, I didn't recognize the mask. This afternoon, we spent a little bit of time. It's kind of the unofficial, official kickoff to summer. Some of the safety things, certainly with the fires going on down in L.A. We talk a little bit about that and some of the things of concern in that arena, as well as Cal Fire has been running around. You guys have been busy. Lots of stuff to kick around, and we'll start kicking when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Desmond Cowan from Arcata Fire. But before we do, Arcata Fire District.
Correct.
But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Thomas Huxley. Sometime between 1825 and 1895 said, quote, "The rung of a ladder was never meant to rest upon, but only to hold a man's foot long enough to enable him to put the other somewhat higher." Okay.
And up we go.
That's almost like a fireman thing.
A bit. We have...
Do you guys actually use ladders anymore? I mean, climbing ladders?
All the time.
Okay. Not just only on trucks.
And we like to say that you can't climb the ladder of success with your hands in your pockets.
Or my pockets.
Or...
Yeah. Yes. So, what's your read on the fires in Southern California?
Well, I got my start doing wildland fire, and really, truth be told, I got my start with the regional occupational program about 27 years ago with HROP and the County Office of Ed. And a phenomenal program, trained people for fire service, particularly wildland. And so I worked down in Mendocino County with Cal Fire. The drought situation, the impact on resources, it's going to affect all of us. Throughout the state, and so we are in the midst right now of preparing our personnel for fire season. We do refresher training every year on all of the fundamentals of fire behavior and fire weather, basic safety, and then we go through and utilize our fire shelters. And all of us, from the chief on down, we go through the whole checklist of training to make sure we're all up to speed and ready to go.
So why are the fires going so prolifically down there? Is it the wind or is it something else?
It's a combination of everything. It's the drought. So, you know, we've had far less rain than normal. And, you know, Southern California is prone to fires in a good year. And so when you have those extended drought periods and then you've got the density of the population, it's just more likely to have fires. And now they're more likely to be more significant.
Do you guys have anybody down there?
Nobody at this time. I participated yesterday with a meeting with Cal Fire down in Fortuna, and we talked about our resource availability for them. We participate with Cal Fire and have personnel. We have a Type 3 engine, which is a wildland engine designed specifically for wildland fires, but very useful in cases of flood, earthquake, landslide, any of those other natural disasters, and it still serves us in the community more developed areas if we need to fall back on it. And so with that participation, we have to be ready to go and cover their stations or, you know, possibly be utilized as a state resource and go almost anywhere.
So it's ready if they call?
Correct. Ready, and we went yesterday or day before yesterday. They had a short duration need for an engine up in Trinidad, so we launched a crew. And that's one of the unique things we do is that we can blend a crew of volunteer and career personnel. And so we had one career firefighter, and the apparatus operator was a volunteer, and the captain in charge was a volunteer also.
I was going to ask, when you're in those agreement windows and the call comes, do you send your paid guys? Do you send your volunteers? Are some of the volunteers able to free up their time to be able to go, whether it, you know, is in the neighborhood like Trinidad or over into the valley like we had in Trinity County and Shasta County a little while ago, or points yet to be determined?
Well, the short answer is yes to all. But we utilize our career staff to cross-staff apparatus. So if CAL FIRE has an immediate need, initial attack, they need that engine right now, we will staff it with the on-duty career staff and then backfill with other personnel coming in. If it's planned need and we have a window of opportunity, we'll send out a text message to our personnel and say, get in touch with us, let us know what your availability is, and then we'll start moving people into position to go and staff that engine. If it goes to Trinidad, we may have them up there for 3 or 4 days, and then we'll rotate crews as people come on and off shift or volunteers.
Trinidad for 3 days? There wouldn't be much of the town left, buddy.
We cover for them when they're off elsewhere.
Oh, I see. You're backfilling them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, CAL FIRE heads out, points south or east, and we come in to backfill for them.
This time of the year, because Humboldt's out, and you do have a number, a percentage of the students that are part of the fire department also is on a volunteer basis, does that give you more flexibility to do that kind of stuff?
Yes and no. Some students stay for the summer, and we have quite a few now. We've brought in a great group. We have about 12 from the original recruitment who are with us right now, 12 pretty new personnel. But they're motivated, they're very sharp, and a really, really good quality bunch. And we have some of those folks who have returned to parts south for a couple of months to see their families and take care of that business, and others who have decided they want to do this so much that they're going to stay for the summer. So there's some flexibility, and we have the challenges of figuring out how to work that out with folks and their employers.
Will you try to do stuff with CAL FIRE so that those kids have an opportunity to experience the other departments also? Because I don't think it's a big secret that CAL FIRE is the entry point.
Yeah,
for a lot of them.
It sure is, and it's where I got into it. And so a lot of folks come in and they start volunteering with us, particularly the young college-age students, and they get that good base of experience, and they might go, and we had one of our newer people just take a position with the Forest Service fairly locally. We had another one who's going back to CAL FIRE down in the Nevada Yuba Placer area, so we won't see him for a while. But they get in there, and that gives them some background and gets them ready to move on in their career.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Desmond Cowan. Desmond, summertime certainly means a bunch of stuff, but Memorial Day for you guys particularly is a little bit different because you got the Kinetic race starting that you have tomorrow. What does that do to you?
Well, it's always an impact, even if it's simply a matter of pre-planning and being ready for what might happen. But, you know, the downtown Arcata area, that's one of the really nice things about the center of Arcata is that it is kind of the social, cultural, economic heart of the town. And so that draw for events like Kinetic Sculpture Race or Oyster Festival brings a whole lot of humanity into the immediate area. And we're bringing them into a concentrated area with some limited access. And then we have the challenges of the construction of the plaza area, which is balloon frame, very old, and would provide huge challenges if a fire got going.
So do you kind of post your guys around a little bit?
We don't post them around, but what we do is, you know, we have the downtown Arcata station staffed with career staff now 24/7, which we started in Thanksgiving Day of 2012. That crew, if we have additional personnel, we'll put them on the engine. They make their way around during the day just to be visible and to talk to people. And
so they're doing the walk around reminder.
They're doing that, and then we'll do, with an event like Oyster Festival, we will do inspections on the street booths prior to them opening to make sure that things are safe, the barbecues are maintained, everybody has their fire extinguisher and appropriate clearance. And so it's a challenge, but it's really a positive thing for the community, because we get to see the community, they interact with our personnel, and it is such a plus for the town to have those events like Kinetic Sculpture and the Oyster Festival. We really enjoy those.
So if something does happen, I would tend to think it's a medical.
Oh, usually.
More apt, particularly with the Kinetic guys. I mean, you know, they're driving around, somebody's going to get, could be a little goofy, something could go haywire and something, you know, that kind of thing. If you can't get a truck to them, how does that complicate things?
What we've gone to is a system of using, we call it a Fireline EMT pack. And so it's a medical pack, and we will keep the apparatus operator at the station with the fire engine, and then the firefighter and the captain will on foot go to the incident. Because if you put 5,000 or 6,000 or 8,000 people out on the plaza to try to drive a fire engine around to bring the gear to the person on an engine is just not, it's not a productive way of doing business. So going on foot is faster, it's less obtrusive and less intrusive, so it doesn't, you know, interfere with people still having a good time at the event.
If you had to get your rig, let's say, to the other side of the plaza, okay,
yeah,
you're probably not going to take the most direct route because of what you were alluding to. Do you have access or ways to loop around to get there and still get there in a timely enough fashion so that
Absolutely.
Things aren't going out of control?
And that's one of the things that we coordinate every year. In the past, we've coordinated with the folks from Arcata Main Street. This year, Greenway Partners is really taking the lead on facilitating the Oyster Festival planning, and that's been going extremely well. We're in frequent contact with the folks at Greenway because we're working with them on a number of other projects. So planning in advance for access and for fire lane, making sure everything's kept available, and then we coordinate closely with the police department in Arcata also.
That's what I was going to ask next, with Arcata Police and with you guys and with CHP and everybody else that's involved with the Kinetic route. Is it a logistics challenge, or is it pretty simple and pretty straightforward because this event has occurred so often?
I think that's the exact answer. It's this time of year, and we do a Kinetic race, and that's that. It's not that much of a... I think if you came from out of the area and somebody asked you to think about dealing with it, it would be somewhat daunting. But because it is part of our local flavor and culture, that's what we do. And so we have the plans in place, and the relationships were already there in advance, and, you know, working with Arcata PD and the University PD and CHP, all those different agencies, it always goes really well. They're a fine group of professionals, and they're easy to work with, and we spend a lot of time communicating in advance.
How far out does your guys' jurisdiction go along the Kinetic route?
All the way through Manila. So our border goes all the way out to the bridge, right about at the bridge from the islands into the peninsula.
So you're right, yeah, to the Samoa Bridge.
Right there, yes.
Now, does Samoa help out? with their
volunteer I believe they do, and they're, you know, Dale Ania is the chief out in Samoa. He's been doing a fantastic job, and they're building their group of firefighters and doing a really good job out there on the peninsula. And so he has his part to play, and his personnel have their role to play also in helping out with that.
So once they hit the bridge, then it's Ken's problem?
Then it becomes someone else's issue. That's correct. So we wish them well, and we stay in touch. But we're always, I always tell people what I want to hear about their event is basically nothing that, except that it was a success. Because that's when it's easy for us.
Didn't need my guys.
We didn't need to get involved. We were ready, but we didn't need to get involved.
So you guys are kind of on standby alert for, what, to about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock?
You know, it's, yeah, until they clear town and we know they're out in the peninsula. And, it, of course, there's the concentration of people in the event right on the plaza. But then at that point, it really spreads out and it just becomes almost a parade. It's just folks going about their day and having a good time.
And everybody breathes nicely. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're at the Talk Shop this afternoon with Desmond Cowan, the fire chief for the district of Arcata Fire. How does McKinleyville match Arcata? We talked a little bit about some of the major events. Does McKinleyville, like with Pony Express Days or Homecoming or things like that, do they have the same impact to the fire department?
They have the same, you know, the same kinds of needs for service, and it's a different atmosphere. And that's, you know, as I've mentioned before, that 2 a.m. in Arcata is very different than 2 a.m. in McKinleyville. And McKinleyville does have the homecoming parade. We participate in that. That brings that kind of concentration again into the Central Avenue area. They typically have a fireworks display, which causes us to coordinate with the high school and the fireworks company and then do our appropriate permitting process. And Pony Express Days is another one where we get our personnel out. We participate. We have a muster. But we also have that, again, a concentration of people. And when you bring more people together, you increase the likelihood that there's going to be need for service.
Because McKinleyville is about the size of Arcata, if not a little bit larger, right?
They're close in population. McKinleyville's, I'm going to throw a couple numbers, maybe 15,000. Arcata's about 17,000. And when you take those two numbers, from our total population in the district, there's another 4,000 to 5,000 people who live outside. So Manila, Jacoby Creek, Bayside, up Fickle Hill, out in the West End area. All those folks that aren't within the city limits or within McKinleyville proper.
So I just was kind of trying to compare McKinleyville to Arcata, and I know that's probably something a lot of people don't see as healthy, yeah. So I'll just kind of let her slide on by.
Well, McKinleyville's a wonderful community, and they have about 40% of our incidents occur in the McKinleyville area, and then about 60% occur south of the Mad River, and that puts everything from downtown Arcata to Manila, and we also border all the way down to Indianola. So we have quite a diverse geographic area and a big population. We have more fires in Arcata, but we also have much older housing in Arcata and a higher density of people in multi-family residential units in the Arcata area.
It's funny, I was thinking medical aid. That Arcata would have had more medical aid because of either friskiness in the youngers or with the folks that have been around for a long time, you know, the medical aid is just for the frail and the elderly.
Yeah, and we do have a large percentage of our calls, our medical calls, as you know, is true throughout the fire service.
So as you're looking at what summertime means, big picture stuff, obviously the population goes down a little bit.
because school
is
down a little bit. Does that mean that your volume for calls goes down, or does it just change in the content?
It changes, and we do have some population change, and primarily it's folks leaving the university campus in particular. So, you know, the residence halls are fairly unoccupied, but the university does host a number of events throughout the summer where they'll bring people back in and utilize those same living quarters. And so there's an ebb and a flow to the number of people who are up on the campus and who are in town and out of town.
And you guys work with the campus PD?
Yes.
Because they don't have a fire piece?
Correct. Yeah, that's one of the interesting facets of that relationship is that the university, I think it's UC Davis has a fire department. They have their own fire department. Cal Poly is on a contract because they are outside of the city of San Luis Obispo, and so they have a contract with the city in order to provide service. We have the university kind of right in the center of our fire district. And so we're working with the university. We have a great collaborative and supportive relationship with them, and we're looking at every way we can to assist them and for them to help us out and make sure that we can provide the services that they need and they can continue to help us and build on the relationship that's already there.
Do you guys have much call for service in the community forest?
Sometimes, yeah. There's the occasional unattended campfire. We have the folks who come to visit town from wherever they're coming from, and they'll go out and camp out in the forest, and then we'll end up with a fire burning out there. Typically, those fires aren't raging wildfires. They move slowly through the more damp vegetation. But when you have one of those old goose pen redwood stumps burning, that takes a lot of personnel to deal with and to get that thing put out. And it, of course, generates a ton of calls from the folks who are our local residents who just want to go for a run in the forest, and they come across those things.
Medical aids? Do you get many of those?
Sometimes, yeah. We've had folks crash on their mountain bikes out in the community forest or fall out of trees. The community forest is a magnet for young folks, and we all did things when we were younger that maybe weren't the wisest choices, and sometimes end up needing a little help.
Well, I was wondering with the monies that the state is giving out of the trust for the community forest here in Eureka, if you could share something about that. Focusing on the Eureka model or mimicking, what would it be? Is it expect activity? Don't expect activity?
Well,
you're going to have some fun in there that you just can't anticipate. What would you tell the folks now as they're starting to put things together?
Well, if you take a piece of what used to be private forest land, and typically a lot of those land holdings were patrolled by the companies, and so there weren't a lot of people out just mountain biking or doing whatever. They'd maybe go out there, but they'd run across one of the security personnel from one of the larger companies, and that kept that activity at a fairly low level. So I think once you open those areas up to normal activity, you're going to have more calls, and it's just the nature of bringing people out to that area and having them have easier access. And if you have people who are traveling through the area and they want to go camp somewhere, when they know some place is open that they can hike out to, that's where they're going to go.
KINS News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Desmond Cowan.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon, final segment of the week. Desmond Cowan is along for the ride this afternoon. Desmond, every once in a while, you do have an opportunity to hire somebody.
We do.
To expand, not necessarily due to retirement, but just you have a chance to do something a little bit better. What's the status of that? Do you guys have unfilled paid positions? Do you have, are you at full capacity? Where is Arcata Fire?
Well, we are evolving, and you know, the national standard for staffing calls for 4 people on an engine 24/7, and that is not found in a whole lot of areas. Major municipalities have the tax base to support that. Ideal, typical, kind of normal configuration in California, well into the 21st century now, is 3 on an engine. We have 2. So we have 3 stations, McKinleyville, Mad River, Arcata, with 2 on each day. We augment that with volunteers when they're available, but our staffing is still below what we need to get up to. So that's going to be an evolutionary step that we need to explain to the community and get community buy-in, and then we need to make the next step at some point in our future as we increase and bring on more personnel to provide the services.
What about preventative aspects? Are there budgets to do prevention?
Yeah, we have, currently I'm filling the role both of fire chief and fire marshal, and I intentionally did that when I got hired so that we could look at a slightly different configuration. In the past, we've utilized a chief officer to do the fire prevention role, and we just went through an advertising and or a recruitment and then a hiring process, and we are made a conditional offer to a woman by the name of Jenny Williamson, who is came out of the Sacramento area, has a fantastic background, a graduate of CSU Sacramento, worked with the city of Sacramento in their fire prevention bureau, worked with Eugene, Oregon, and Redmond, Oregon, and then came back to this area and began volunteering with Humboldt Bay Fire, and is now working currently with Humboldt Bay on a kind of a split, doing a lot of work with them. And she's going to, we anticipate having her on staff by July 1st. She's going to bring a whole new perspective to our organization, skill sets that we don't currently have, and an ability to deliver those public safety programs to the community, and one person coordinating, and not do it with a chief officer. It's really hard, I can tell you, to try to coordinate fire prevention inspections and all those things that need to go on in the community while at the same time being responsible for responding to structure fires. You know, nothing can ruin your schedule like a working structure fire. All the plans you had are gone as soon as that happens, because that takes priority.
Yeah, it's those unplanned interruption things that just kind of make life spicy.
That's the nature of our business.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Have a bland weekend.
I'm hoping to be very bored.
Good deal.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Desmond Cowan. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow morning.